welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's wonderful to be here this morning. Isn't God good? He's good all the time. Man, it's great to see you. I'm glad you came out on this snowy, wet day. We never know from day to day whether we're going to have spring or winter. One of these days it's going to be summer. It's going to be such a blessing. Well, how are you enjoying our current series, Perplexed? Perplexed. When God's plans don't make sense to us. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Has God ever told you no and you said, wait, let's reconsider this. Let's think about it some more. Pastor Ben led us last week in the study of Gideon. And that was a wonderful study. My favorite quote from the sermon, I'm sure it was the Ben Hackbarth paraphrase. And that is, Israel conquered with Zippos and flower pots. Boy, I had to go home and write that down in my preaching Bible. It's like, oh, I can't forget that one. That's awesome. You see, God did something different in Gideon's life. Gideon was a chicken. And God came to him and said, hey, you're a great man of valor. You're a great warrior. And Gideon looked around and was like, is he talking to me? Have you ever felt like that? You know, when Pastor Ben's speaking, he looks over your way. He's like, oh, is he talking to me? Is this what God is doing? And sure enough, that's what God was doing. Gideon called for the armies of Israel to come. Thousands came. And God said, let's cut it down. Let's get it down just a couple hundred. And Gideon, I am sure, this isn't in Scripture, but I am sure, Gideon said to himself, you sure, God? You sure you want less people? Sometimes less with God is more for us. That's what Pastor Ben told us last Sunday. Our springboard verse for this series is 2 Corinthians 4:8. And that is, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Have you ever been perplexed? Have you ever thought to yourself, why, Lord? You know, in my training as a counselor, there are several things that you never ask in a counseling session. You can ask what, where, when, how. You never ask somebody why, because your answer when you ask why is going to be what? Because. That's right. Because we don't know the answer of why. Perplexed with God. I have been perplexed in my life so many times. In my relationship to God, and just my relationships, just all about in life. And I was praying and considering an illustration out of my own life for this sermon on perplexity. I thought back to when I was a young man, and we were poor, and we lived on a farm in the country. I had two boys and a third boy on the way, and I worked full-time, and on the side, I rebuilt cars. I put cars back together and painted them, did body work, and sold them to have food for the family and to pay the rent. In the garage sat some, 30 yards away from the house, and it was an old garage, but nice enough. My brother would come down and help me work on cars sometimes, and so a friend gave me an old Volkswagen, and he told me it had a blown motor. the engine was no good, but the body was fair, so I went to work on putting that Volkswagen back together, and my brother came down, and he told me, "Now, before I leave, is there anything I can help you with, anything I can do?" And the rebuilding of the Volkswagen wasn't a problem, but my back had been hurting, so I asked my brother, "Would you help me put this engine on a table so that I don't have to bend over all the time and work on this engine?" He said, "Sure, I'd be happy to do that." So my brother and I picked up the engine and put it on the table about 4 feet off the ground, just about up like this, and my brother went back to his home, and I commenced to working on the engine, and I had a great time. I had a book, a wonderful book, VW's for Idiots. It wasn't written for me, but I sure did understand it. And I was working on the motor and getting it all torn down and then cleaned up and put back together. And at long last, I'd put everything back on the motor and I was ready to lower it back to the floor, which is something I hadn't really counted on. I was thinking, well, how can I get this engine back on the floor? How can I can slide it under the Volkswagen easy enough, but how will I get it back to the floor? And the Lord gave me great insight. And that was, just put a couple 4x4s over the rafters and get your rope and throw the rope over the rafters and tie it onto the manifold of the Volkswagen engine and kick over the table and see, I'll get the motor to the floor. And I read the book, and the book said that the engine only weighed 200 pounds. And I thought, that's great. I weigh 220. The engine's 200 pounds. That's perfect. God's design is so good. So there I sat out in the shop, wife and kids in the house. I set it all up. Back then, we didn't have smooth rope. We didn't have nice rope. I had an old, big, brown, one-inch hemp rope. And maybe you've touched a hemp rope, but hemp ropes are just like stickers. You have to wear gloves. It's like a mess. But that's all I had, and it was in the barn. So, you know, I thought, this is good enough. And so I threw the hemp rope over, and I tied it on, and I pulled it around my waist right about here and tightened it up really tight because I knew I didn't want to have any slack. So I tightened it up tight, 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 and commenced to kick the table over. I just leaned back and put my foot on the table and began to rock it a little bit, and I could feel the movement around my waist. I felt the movement, and all of a sudden, the whole momentum took off, and that engine did not weigh 200 pounds. That engine was in surplus of at least 240. It dropped to the floor like a rock, and later, I realized that 200 pounds was a stripped engine. It wasn't with all the parts in it and on it. And there I hung in the garage, crying for my wife and asking God for his help. Now, I hung there in the garage for 10 minutes. No one to help. No one to do anything, just hung there and contemplated the perplexity of life. That's not the worst situation I've ever found myself in. What if you had God's answer for perplexing situations? What if there was a finite answer to how to face the perplexing situations that we find ourselves in. What if there was something that you could say with absolute certainty that God is on the move? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be refreshing to your heart? Let's look to God's word this morning, but before we do, let's hold up our Bibles and pray for God to bless his word. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you that you've given us a book to guide and direct our steps. Lord, you've given us your spirit to guide and direct our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that you would show us today how we can deal with perplexity in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Today's message is from 2 Kings chapter 5. And the story is about a man named Naaman. And Naaman was a key general that was in Syria. Back a long time ago, I thought, Syria, where is Syria? But now, Syria's in the news every week. I think I heard about Syria in the news several times this week. And this is one of the leading figures back in about 850 BC, that was a general in Syria, and he worked for a specific king in history, King Ben-Hadad. So if I ever get another dog, I think I'm going to name him Ben-Hadad. But let's read the story together in chapter 5. Naaman was a general of the army under the king of Aram. He was an important man to his master, who held him in high esteem. But it was by God that they had had victory over Aram. A true great man, but afflicted with a grievous skin disease. It so happened that Aram, on one of its raiding expeditions against Israel, captured a young girl who became a maid to Naaman's wife. One day she said to her mistress, "Oh, if only my master could meet the prophet of Samaria, he would be healed of his skin disease." Naaman went straight away to his master and reported what the girl from Israel had said. And, "Well then, go," said the king of Aram, "and I'll send a letter of introduction to the king of Israel." So he went off, taking with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Naaman delivered the letter to the king of Israel. The letter read, "When you get this letter, you'll know that I've personally sent my servant Naaman to you. Heal him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he was terribly upset, ripping his robe into pieces, and said, "Am I a god with the power to bring death or life that I might order this man to be healed of his disease? What is going on here? The king is trying to pick a fight with us. That's what's going on." Elisha, the man of God, heard what had happened. The king of Israel was so distressed that he had ripped his robe to shreds. So he sent word to the king, "Why are you so upset, ripping your clothes like this? Send him to me so he will learn that there is a prophet in the land of Israel." So Naaman, with all his horses and chariots, arrived in style and stopped at Elisha's door. Elisha sent out a servant to meet him with a message. "Go to the Jordan River and immerse yourself 7 times. Your skin will be healed and you will be as good as new. Nahum lost his temper. He turned on his heels and says, I thought he'd personally come out and meet me and call upon the name of God and wave his hand over me, over the spot of the disease, and I would be healed. And by the way, Damascus has great rivers. Abnab and Pharpar are cleaner by far than the rivers of Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'm at least going to get clean. He stomped off and was still mad as a hornet. But his servants caught up with him and said, Father, if the prophets had asked you to do something hard or heroic, would you not have done it? Nahum began to think to himself, so why not simply wash and be clean? So he did. He went down and immersed himself in the Jordan River 7 times, following the orders of the holy man. His skin was healed. It was like the skin of a baby. He was good as new. Wow! The wow's not in here. And then it says, and then he went back to the holy man. He and all his entourage stood before him and said, I know now beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's no God anywhere on earth other than the God of Israel. In gratitude, I'd like to give you a gift. As God lives, Elijah replied, the God whom I serve, I'll take nothing from you. Naaman tried his best to get him to take something, but he would not. A perplexing situation. Nahum had some things to deal with before he was ready to deal with God. Nahum, first of all, just wanted things to work like he needed them to work. And a lot of times, I've been the same way. When I was rebuilding that motor, all I needed was a book. And I would tell my friends, all I need is a book. All I need is a book. Just give me the book, and I'll take care of rebuilding the motor. Well, it was true, and that's the way we are. We tell ourselves a lot of times, just tell me what to do, and I'll take care of it. But you see, that's not the way God wants to work in our lives. God wants to bring us into full relationship with Himself. He wants the perplexity to drive us in a direction that will be fully productive for the kingdom of God and for our relationship with God. Nahum was angry when he couldn't get the easy solution. Nahum had expectations. So many times in my life, I have expectations. I pray and pray about things and just think, well, God will say yes, but then God says no. And I think to myself, why has God said no to me? And I go and request again and request of God, please say yes to me. I'm perplexed. God says, no. I want to tell you before we go any farther this morning, the key. that God has shown me in my life. God's design for perplexed situations is that we are drawn into relationship with God. Let me repeat it. God's design for perplexing situations is that we are drawn into relationship with God. You see, God desires an open, free relationship with us. And it's not on our terms. It's on God. Have you ever bought a gift for somebody and then they nailed you and said, "Well, you didn't really put any thought into this gift, did you?" My wife has the gift of catching me every time this happens. She can tell when, you know, I'm a person who shops at the last minute. I love to get the feeling involved. I love to be the chase, but I'm looking for one specific thing. I can remember I asked Pastor Beth after we did a practice for the Christmas Eve service. I asked Pastor Beth, I said, "Now I'll still have time to go get a Christmas present after this, won't I?" And she looked at me and laughed. You see, God knows when we're not putting in any effort. My wife knows when I'm not putting in any effort. And His design is to bring us into perplexed relationships or situations that give us the desire to be connected to God. Naaman had leprosy. The text says a skin disease. It was most likely leprosy. Leprosy was such a terrible disease in those days that it was basically a death sentence. In Israel, you couldn't be around people. You had to live outside of town. When you did go anywhere, you had to announce to the world, "Leopard, leopard, leopard." Wow, I can relate to that in this day of COVID. You see, Naaman had a great need. Naaman had a great need to be healed. And God wanted to draw him into relationship. Naaman put great stock in who he was, that he was the leader of the army, that he came to town with 750 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold and 10 sets of killer clothes. Man, he's like, I'm gonna dress to impress. And God said, "I don't really care who you are. I love you. I care for you. I want to have a relationship with you. And here's what you need to do." You see, God created you to be who you are and to live each day in relationship with Him. And there's no higher goal, no higher prize than to be in relationship with God. So Naaman, thanks to a slave girl, a servant girl, and his servants, came to his senses and said, "Okay, I have a perplexing situation and I'm going to put my own pride aside. I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God and give it a shot." What did God do? God healed him. God healed him and drew him into a relationship that transformed the remainder of his life. There was no more loneliness. Everybody didn't have to stay away from him because he was a leper. He had a disease. He was embraced. And so the Lord brings perplexity into our lives. Not to leave us hanging in the garage, but to draw us into closer relationship with Him. My prayers don't always get answered the way I want. My expectations are different. I just expect God to come out and wave His hand over and do it for me. I can remember being in college thinking that's how I could take a test. It'd be wonderful. God would just give me an A on the test. No, that's never the way that God worked. God always put me in the difficult situation, gave me the capabilities to rise to the calling of whatever needed to be done, and was with me the whole time. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Naaman got to live whole again. But before we leave Naaman, I'd like to bring to mind three other people in the story this morning. Who's the hero of the story? Naaman is the hero. Naaman was the one that was cleansed. Only I believe the real hero in this story was a little girl who was taken hostage in Israel and didn't spend the rest of her life saying, why me? A little girl who was raised to love God. A little girl who was probably dedicated to God. A little girl who listened to her parents talk about the prophet of God and what the prophet of God is doing, Elisha. And then as the army from the north, from Syria, came down to Israel on a raiding mission, took her home to Syria as a slave. You see, the relationship that that little girl had with God was like this. It was tight. She knew who God was and that God would never leave her and never forsake her. It's because of that little girl that we have this perplexing situation that's solved by God. Stand on your faith. Never be ashamed to stop and tell somebody, you know, God loves you. You know, God cares about you. You know, God has a plan for your life. The Lord will heal you. The Lord will help you. You see, that's what that little girl did. This morning as I was here at praise team practice, I was watching the kids playing. What a blessing! What a wonderful thing! You should, it's worth the price of admission. Man, kids are great. They're wonderful. This girl had the attitude of knowing that she could trust in God, that God wouldn't leave her hanging. The other person that I'd like to bring to mind is the prophet, Elisha. Elisha was the man of God who was not disturbed by the things of God. Elisha said, let him come down. Let him be healed. Something good's going to happen. There is a God, and He cares. Let the world see God's hand working, and let's give God the glory. Wow. You know, Elisha was offered all the gifts that the Syrian general brought down. It was in the millions of dollars. Well, I don't know. If someone offered me millions of dollars, I'd give up an awful lot. Elisha said, this is the glory to God. This is God's hand moving, and I'm not taking any money, any compensation. I'm doing this. Why? Because I serve a living God. God's design for perplexing situations is to draw us deeper and tighter into the relationship with Him. Before I close, there's one more person I'd like to mention from the text. You probably know who it is. In your mind right now, you're saying, yep, I know who it is. It's the king of Israel, Joram was his name. He didn't know God. When adversity, when a perplexing situation came to his life, he said, oh, paranoia's taken over. Syria's looking for a reason to invade Israel. I know this is terrible. Oh, woe is me. And ripped his clothes off. Shredded them up. Oh. How many times do I think of people who don't know God, that have no hope? In these seasons, in these times, it is such a blessing to have the forgiveness of God in our lives. I can go to bed at the end of the day and lay all my burdens upon the Lord. The Lord tells us, cast your cares on me, cast your anxieties on me, because I care for you. The most blessed thing is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God opened the door, offered forgiveness, said, hey, do you face perplexing things in your life? Come on, join the journey. Well, where are you at today? Life brings us many perplexing situations. Not easy. But God tells us in the book of James, verse 4 and 8, draw near to God. Draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. What's God's design for the troubled situation? The relationship with Him. More and more in my life, I realize that I need a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. The adversity that comes my way leaves me hanging in the garage. Then I realize I don't have a knife in my pocket. What kind of person am I? And I hang there and I think, I wonder if I'd had a better rope, if things would have gone a little better. You know, if it had been a smaller rope, I'd have never got it untied. After this whole situation, I finally got the rope untied and got down to the floor. Bless the Lord for that. When I went in the house later that night, my wife told me, you won't be working in the garage anymore without a baby monitor. And she was serious. I had the baby monitor, and she would come out and tell me when it wasn't on. Like, hey, turn the monitor on. It's See, God doesn't leave us hanging. God doesn't let life happen to us with no purpose. But God calls us into a strong and growing relationship with Him. Let's stand together as the praise team comes and bless the Lord with our hearts. Tell Jesus today your burdens. Accept the relationship that He offers you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how relevant it is to living today. Now, Lord, as I listen to the story, I can see my own heart exposed. Lord, I ask that you would change my heart. Rather than seeing life as adversity and perplexing, I would see you in relationship with me. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your ability to make something broken whole. As the Lord speaks to your heart today, reach out to Him. Maybe you don't know Him. Invite Him into your life. Maybe perplexity has overwhelmed you. And you've become angry, frustrated. Submit to God. Be healed. Maybe you're a person of great faith. Continue to proclaim the good news that God has given you for a hurting world. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your spirit that guides our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.